The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming, and no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." And so they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Who is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now, Jesus had made clay and opened the eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him, "He was able to see?" And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such things?" And there was much division among them. And so they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son who was born blind? How does he see now?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he can see now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, and for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become a disciple too? They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this man came from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man was not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered him and said, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." And he said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But if you are saying, 'We see,' then your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good evening. I'd like to begin with a short service announcement. For many weeks now, we've been working on the One Church, Many Disciples campaign, and we've been praying together each Sunday, the campaign prayer. So I wanted to give you a quick update on the campaign here at St. Joseph's. As of this last week, we have raised here at St. Joseph's nearly 60% of our campaign goal for our parish. That is just over $600,500 in pledges and money. So that's with only just 59 families responding so far in the parish. So thank you very much for those who have responded so far. And just to let you know that there's more people that the volunteers will be reaching out to and calling about this. And everyone will be receiving soon a mailing about the campaign. And so I just encourage you to prayerfully consider your participation in the campaign, how you might be able to pledge, make a 5-year pledge to the One Church, Many Disciples campaign. And also just continue to pray for the success of the campaign here at St. Joseph's and throughout the Archdiocese. Announcement over. An encounter, you don't have to clap. No, don't clap. I know you like the clap, but it's okay. It is great, and we're doing great, but there's more important matters now. You know, an encounter with Jesus is often described as enlightening. It's like flipping on a switch and a light comes on. It's also described as an experience of seeing something we did not see before. We did not know, and now we know. We did not see, now I see it. We did not understand, and now I do. I'm aware of God's love. Not just the love he has for all living things, but the love he has for me. There is something powerful in the truth that God loves us and knowing that. Out of love, he created, out of that love, he created everything, the world and all its living things, the solar system and all its planets and moons, the galaxy and all its stars, the universe and all that is in it that we have not seen and may never see. But out of all of this, out of every created thing, he chose you. And he knows you. And he loves you. He chose me. And out of all of this, he specifically created your existence. He thought of you. And you're here. In the flesh, in a body, with a heart and soul, the ability to think, to reason, and to love. God created you and said to your whole being, I love you. When we realize the truth of this amazing love, light will invade every part of your life. We will see God in every thought, word, and deed. We will be healed of our sufferings when we let that love invade every part of us. We will not be in darkness. We will have the light of life. Now, there are many things in the world that will try to put this light out. There are so many temptations that tell us you don't need God. You don't need the church. You don't need anything except this pleasure or this power or this material thing. In our modern world that is full of the best technology we have ever seen, in our world where we have in our pocket the means to almost infinite information, facts, the means to communicate. With this, we call ourselves smart. In this world of screens and images, there are many, many threats and dangers. And we are constantly being tempted. And one of the greatest threats and dangers in the light, to the light of Jesus in our modern culture today, is pornography. And on this Sunday, this particular Sunday, many churches around the Archdiocese want to speak about this problem. Not only the struggle of having this, but pornography in particular. Its effects, how we can answer the call to awareness, to protection, and to freedom from the temptation of pornography. All indications show that this is a widespread global problem, made infinitely worse by the easy access and use of the internet. And so the statistics are frightening. I'm addressing everybody, but I really want parents of young children to know things, to know this. We should all know it. But on average, the earliest exposure now to pornography is 8 to 11 years old. On average. Studies indicate that 93% of boys and 62% of girls were exposed to pornography before the age of 18. 57% of young people seek out pornography on their phones or tablets once a month. 68% of men, 18% of women said they use pornography at least once a week. And add another 17% of men and another 30% of women said they use pornography 1 to 2 times a month. And even more devastating, 56% of divorce now says and say that it involves one party having an obsessive interest in pornography on the internet. Now, I offer these stats to emphasize the problem and to help us see that it is not isolated to one age, one type of person or place. It's in our homes, which should be a sacred place, a safe place. It's in our workplaces, it's in our schools, it's in our churches. It's everywhere. Pornography addiction is rising rapidly in our culture, and we are seeing devastating effects. One of the urgencies we have as a society is the need to protect ourselves, our children, and our families, and our loved ones from the danger of pornography. This is a matter that cannot be ignored in our parish, in your family life, or in each person's examination of conscience. We cannot be silent anymore while souls are being ensnared. So you should know, and I hope we all know, the use of explicit materials like this makes its users spiritually crippled and deadened. It can have grave effects on our connection to God. It's serious sin that needs to be confessed, and especially before coming forward to receive Holy Communion. It enslaves people. It negatively impacts personal discipline, dating relationships, marriages, and even the ability for a young person or anyone to discern a call from God to the priesthood or the religious life. Parents, with the advent of the smartphone and tablet, the smart TV, all kinds of computers, even now we can look at things on our watches, I think. I don't know what's going on today. Parents, with the advent of these things, it's more than likely that your child has been exposed. You must speak to them about this. You must first treat this issue in your own life with serious resolve. You must take measures to control and eliminate the entry points for this material into your homes, the different technologies that exist there. You can use internet accountability and filtering software. There's much out there today. Even a good idea I heard someone say was to make everyone in your house turn all cellular and internet devices in each evening, and mom or dad locks them away, and you don't get them until morning. Now, I know that that may sound to some of you as odd or maybe even ridiculous. The threat, though, is serious. For the good of our souls, for the protection of our children and our lives. I bring this to you as your spiritual father. The struggle of this sin is real. Sexual sin, I know firsthand as a priest, because I talk to you and I listen, and I know what's going on in our in your lives. Sexual sin brings great shame and sadness and loneliness. And I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He loves you still. And he wants you to be free. I have heard and seen the effects of pornography in lives and families. And so today I want to offer you encouragement and the way to a freedom that does exist. And so in this parish, I want to say, let's open up this topic for conversation. If you need to talk to me, if you need to go to confession to me, talk, do it. Don't be afraid. I'm also asking you to continue or open up this conversation in your homes and with your family. Opening up this conversation can allow healing to take place. Because that's probably the worst thing about pornography in the entire world and culture. Nobody talks about it. Not on TV, not in the media, often not in church, not in schools or homes. It's an accepted thing. Or it's just being ignored because no one wants to talk about it. It's too much shame. It's difficult. Be honest, open, and compassionate to those who struggle but want freedom. Come to confession and to prayer often. Some people need to seek professional assistance. Don't wait to seek that help. We are not children of the darkness that comes from sin. We are children of the light. We can't walk around blinded by this problem. We need to bring it into the light and seek the grace to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. So today, this is what the Archdiocese is calling Safe Haven Sunday. So I want to offer you a tool to begin this road to awareness, protection, and freedom. This book that is in the back of the church, it's called Equipped. It's specifically for parents, but it has information that's good for all people. Maybe you don't have children in the home, but you have children who have children, or you have children who have children who have children. I don't know how old or what's going on, but, or you know families that might need this. This information is vital. It has information to software that you can use on technology. It has ways to open up conversation. There's lots of things here. It's not a very long book. So take one or take some that you can give to others if you like. The information and tools are there to assist individuals and especially families. Start the conversation. And let's live as children of the light in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.